Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we are coming to you from Dallas, Texas. Kent, seems like the whole world is moving to Dallas, Texas. It's a great place to be, but even more than that, we're at Herb's House. It's a coffee shop here in Dallas where we do a lot of great ministry, Kent. And we are in John 11, verse 25 and 26. The title of this is The Resurrection and the Life. And this is one of the great I Am statements that Jesus makes. It's the fifth of seven I Am statements in John's Gospel. And on the occasion of the death of Lazarus, Jesus intentionally comes late in order that Lazarus would die so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. And as Martha comes to greet him, as he comes to town, Jesus makes this astonishing statement to him, to her. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Kent, what Jesus is claiming here, he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be God by saying, "I am," which goes back to Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am," the burning bush. But added to that statement of deity, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Only God can raise the dead, and only God can give life to those who are spiritually dead and to those who are physically dead. God is life, and God alone can give life. And so by saying this, Jesus is claiming to be God, and he is claiming to have power over death and power over the grave. And he says this really in anticipation of what he's about to do. He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, he will say, "Lazarus, come forth." And by the authority that belongs to him, he will command Lazarus to come out of that grave. And he did. And so this is one of the most dramatic statements that Jesus ever made. When he says, "I am the resurrection," he is referring principally in this verse, verse 25, to a physical resurrection. The resurrection at the end of the age, in which all those who are dead and in the grave will be brought forth. Every Christian will be brought out of the grave and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And at the end of time, there will be a general resurrection of even the bodies of unbelievers to stand in judgment before the Lord. But it speaks more than just a physical resurrection. It speaks to a spiritual resurrection. Christ alone has the authority to command spiritual life to be in those who are spiritually dead. And really the next verse, verse 26, affirms that. He says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Kent, the order there is very important. First, we must be brought to life spiritually, and then believe. Excuse me, I need some of this Herb's House coffee to...
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of wet my whistle here just a minute.
Maybe this could be an infomercial here.
Wow, that is so good. Wow. Kent, thank you for waking up early and making this for us.
Absolutely.
In case you're wondering, I did call Kent's wife, Amy, to see what he was wearing today.
We matched.
And we matched, and so it was planned. I just want to be like Kent. Okay?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, who doesn't? But anyway, back to the eternal. There is life must be given first in regeneration. It's the doctrine of the new birth. And a dead person cannot believe. Only someone who's been made alive can believe. And so there is an order here. It's called the order of salutis, the order of salvation. And first, Christ must raise the spiritually dead soul to life And in that same split second, he grants by his Spirit the gifts of repentance and faith, and they call upon the Lord. So I just want to underscore this again. Someone who's spiritually dead cannot believe. It's the bondage of the will. They must be made alive and given the gift of repentance and faith and enabled to believe. But all of this is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ as he works by his Spirit. So, Kent, we need to talk about this, but this is really a jaw-dropping truth. Yeah. So what have you got for us?
I would think that a lot of us listening, you know, we're thinking if we're back when Jesus says this and he says, you will never die. Some people are probably it's in one ear and out the other. And I think my question is, when he says you will never die, that presupposes that everyone's going to die, physically and spiritually. So, well, why don't you expound a little bit on what Jesus meant by this, which tends to just, again, all the people that come in here and everyone says, well, you'll never die. They're like, yeah, and they drive off.
Yeah.
But what does this mean? This is serious business for every one of us that ever walked the face of the earth.
Absolutely it is. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, it says, it's appointed to a man once to die. Mm. And after this, the judgment. Mm-hmm. And so every one of us have two unbreakable appointments, death and judgment. Mm. And we are all going to die unless Christ comes back first. And so when he says you will never die, he's referring to a spiritual death, because we are going to die physically unless Christ comes back. And I've buried both of my parents, my father and my mother. Your father has passed away. I mean, death is inevitable and is certain, even for a Christian.
Yeah.
When Jesus says you will never die, he is not saying, well, we'll be like Elijah and be caught up to heaven in a chariot and just bypass death. No, he means you'll never die spiritually. You will never fall away from grace. You will never lose eternal life. You will never lose the abundant life that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. That is ours forever. Mm-hmm. And so it's an extraordinary statement of this eternal security of the believer and the kind of life that he gives to us, which is eternal life. If it's eternal life, it'll never end. Even if we die physically, the eternal life he gives to us will go on forever. So, Kent, you've really put your finger on a live nerve, a great point for us to circle back and address.
Why is it so hard for us, Steve, to get our brains around eternity and what Jesus is saying here? Why is it easy to a lot of people just brush it off? Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, we live in this one-dimensional world of time. Mm-hmm. And we understand past, present, future within time. To go outside of that box and to step into eternity is a whole nother realm. It's mind-boggling. But we need to think about it. Jonathan Edwards said, oh God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs, such that we would always be seeing life and decisions made in light of eternity. And so we need to always have this eternal perspective on how I invest my time, how I invest my resources, that it would count not just for the moment, but forever. Well, Kent, we've heard it said many times, there are only two things going out of this world, the Word of God and the souls of men, and how wise we are to invest our lives into the souls of men and taking the Word of God to them. So that's why we're involved in the ministries that we're involved in, Kent, because we must take the Word of God to the souls of men, and that's what will count forever. So, thank you. That's really helping us zero in on this.
Well, I don't know if you have time for one more.
For you, Kent, I do.
Well, I think also if you go back to the very beginning, starting at the end, that Jesus really opens up again, thinking that we're so limited. And if you could just close with this about the life and the resurrection and the power. You know, we think of the world and the power of do they have the nuclear weapon? Do they, or what are they going to use? So on and so forth. But this is real power.
This is real power. This is divine power, supernatural power, overpowering power. What I think our take home on this by way of final application, you've opened up kind of the vault for this truth to come out, is that it is this resurrection power that enables us to live the Christian life. Even in the midst of this world that is just imploding all around us, and it's sobering, it's shocking to see the decline of morality and structure in society. How are we going to make it through this? Well, there's a far greater power in us than what is assailing us. And it is the power of God that lives within us. It's the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1 tells us that's the very same power that is operative in us to stand strong, to live victorious in this life. And so praise the Lord. He's done more than just like a one-time resurrection, and now it's up to us to hang in there.
Yeah.
This resurrection power continues to surge through our souls and support us and uphold us as we live our Christian life. So I can't think of a better episode for you to have tuned into for Steadfast Hope than this one. And I know that God's truth resonates with your heart and with your soul. So our prayer is that you would truly rely upon the power of God and the resurrection power of Christ in your life as you live your Christian life. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.